Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you very much. Do you remember an early television program called Queen for a Day? The woman chosen to be queen for a day was brought to Hollywood, had her life reviewed before a studio audience and before a national television audience. During the program, she was awarded with some beautiful and expensive presents. I do not remember all the details of the program, but it was very popular for a few years. I'm sure it was exciting for the honoree and stimulating for all who watched. My Molly occasionally watched. There have been reruns for virtually every other popular program. Is it likely some of those programs will be rebroadcast? So far as I remember, Queen for a Day was just innocent fun. What would you think of people who ask, in effect, how would you like to be God for a day? No, that is not the question the editors of the Tennessean ask their readers. An article, Saturday, May the 31st, 2003, was entitled, If I Had God's Power, I Would... I have been reading books, journals, and newspapers for considerably more than 60 years. But the article in the paper is one of the most insulting, blasphemous, and ridiculous articles I have ever read. I am embarrassed and ashamed that editors at any newspaper would be so arrogant. I am equally embarrassed and ashamed that my fellow Tennesseans would respond to such a stupid topic. The article in the Tennessean makes reference to a movie, Bruce Almighty, starring Jim Carrey and Morgan Freeman. The movie depicts a television reporter, Bruce Nolan, who complains to God for a very bad day he had experienced. God responds by granting his power for a short time to the reporter. God does not allow the reporter to interfere with men's free will, and he is not permitted to tell anyone he is deity. How the studio could have picked a more obnoxious character to play God than Jim Carrey is beyond my comprehension. I have never watched Jim Carrey in a movie and have no intention of doing so. But I have seen his irreverent and stupid behavior on some television shows. In my opinion, he is about as funny as a sore toe. The editors of the paper decided to ask readers what they would do if they had God's powers. The paper printed 10 responses. One Nashvillian responded by saying that he would heal all the sick people in the world, establish peace among men, and provide more blue skies and rainbows than anyone could imagine. He concludes his brief response by saying that no one can match the love of God, for he is matchless. Page 3b. Some questions on this brief excerpt are in order. Does God not know that millions of people in our world are sick and desire to be healed? Is God so hard-hearted and cruel that he does not want people healed? Or does he have reasons for not healing everyone? Are there no benefits to pain and suffering? Would the man who wrote the article be better at providing for man than God is? Another Nashvillian said he would cause all wars to cease and interfere with the availability and use of drugs. There would be no poverty and no unemployment. All diseases would cease to be. People would not know the meaning of racism. Page 3b. I pray, as I know many of you do, that wars and threats of wars will disappear from the face of the earth. I work with young people and older ones to keep them off all destructive drugs, including beverage alcohol. But if we were to prevent all wars and stop all drug traffic, as desirable as those goals are, would we not have to remove free will from our fellow men? Human beings choose to declare war. They also choose to use drugs. If we take away their freedom of choice, they become nothing more than robots. Does God have the power to remove all diseases and sicknesses from the face of the earth? Does he not care if we suffer from cancer or heart trouble or some other dread disease? atheists and other unbelievers have argued for years that suffering in the world proves that God does not exist. Their argument runs somewhat as follows. If God exists, either he is not all-powerful or he is not all-benevolent. If he were all-powerful, he would remove all pain and suffering. If he were all-loving, he would not want his creatures to suffer. Atheists say that even if such a God exists, he is not worthy of our worship. Atheists like Bertrand Russell and Anthony Flew conclude that God does not exist. Rabbi Harold Kushner's book, When Bad Things Happen to Good People, does not deny that God is all-loving, but it does deny that he is all-powerful. Do the correspondents to the Tennessean claim to have greater compassion for those who suffer than the God who made us and who sent his Son to die for us? One letter writer says she would remove racism so that people would not even know what the term means. The world's response would be, racism? What is that? Page 3b. As desirable as it is to remove racism, should God force people to love each other so that all forms of discrimination would end? I have preached and lectured against racism for almost 60 years. I do so because God is no respecter of persons. Acts 10, 34 and 35. But would God be honoring the free moral agency of man if he made man incapable of being a racist? Ideally, we should not discriminate against anyone on the basis of race or national origin or social standing. But should that not be each person's choice? If men were not free to choose, they would be nothing more than animals whose behavior is primarily instinctual. God made us free moral agents, but he will hold us accountable for our choices. A correspondent from Cowan, Tennessee, says that anyone with the power of God should recognize responsibility for improving the human condition. What improvement of the human condition did the man have in mind? Would the Cowan letter writer make man incapable of experiencing pain? I would like to recommend to the Cowan resident and to all other people a book that helps us to understand God's reasons for enabling man to benefit from pain. Dr. Paul Brand, one of the leading leprosy physicians in the world, and Philip Yancey, a roving editor of the evangelical journal Christianity Today, wrote an outstanding book with the title, Pain, the Gift Nobody Wants. On the front of the dust cover is this warning. Life without pain could really hurt you. Dr. Brand worked with leprosy patients in India most of his adult life. His words are worth hearing. I now regard pain as one of the most remarkable design features of the human body. Page 12. Dr. Brand tells of a 4-year-old patient who had injured her ankle. The doctor rotated the child's foot, but the child felt no pain. The child laughed at spankings and other physical punishment. When she stepped on a nail or on a thumbtack, she did not bother to pull it out. According to Dr. Brand, the little girl lacked any mental construct of pain. Dr. Brand later learned that the child, at age 11, had lost both legs to amputation. Pages 4 and 5. Dr. Brand uttered this prayer, Thank God for pain. Page 11. Would the Cowan man make us incapable of stealing, committing adultery, abusing our spouses and children, and engaging in other abominable practices? God's guidebook, our infallible Bible, tells man what he ought to do for his own benefit, for the benefit of others, and for the glory of God. But God gives us the freedom to do good or to do evil. The following passage from the 8th century B.C. prophet Isaiah was designed to challenge the Israelites to be righteous and holy. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek justice. relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Isaiah 1, 16, 17, 19, and 20. If God forced us to do His will, we would bring no more honor to His name than a machine would. Maybe the cow and man playing God would remove all poverty from the face of the earth. Would He reward a man for laziness and penalize the industrious person? People who prepare themselves for their occupations and professions and work hard to succeed deserve to enjoy the fruit of their labors. Some of the Thessalonian Christians desperately needed to learn that lesson. Some of them were not working to provide for their own welfare and for that of their families. Paul reminded them of God's view of their behavior. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you disorderly, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now them who are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. 2 Thessalonians 3, 10 through 12. The word disorderly in this context means idle, I-D-L-E. Would the cow and letter writer alter God's arrangement? One man from Nashville failed to identify himself as being involved in the so-called New Age movement. But he is, regardless of his understanding. If he had the power of God, he would make, please notice the word make, all people realize that all faiths, religions, and modes of spirituality are right, that all are roads to God. Page 3b. Did you know that the Bible teaches that it is impossible for God to lie? Hebrews 6, 18. But if God made all people realize that all faiths, religions, and modes of spirituality are right, that all are roads to God, He would be guilty of hopeless lies and contradictions. Time will not allow me to give a complete list of irreconcilable contradictions among different faiths, religions, and modes of spirituality, but I shall list a few. Did you know that reincarnation is one of the most widely held religious doctrines in the world? I have no plans in this lesson to show how foolish from a scriptural viewpoint reincarnation is, but it directly contradicts the Bible's teaching on death and the resurrection. The inspired author of Hebrews affirms, "And it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment." Hebrews 9:27. The Greek word translated once, hapax, means once for all, once never to be repeated. From a scriptural viewpoint, there will not be an endless recycling of human beings. We live on this earth one time. We die once for all, and we are raised to die no more. Whatever your view of reincarnation and the resurrection, there is no possibility, I repeat, no possibility, that both of these doctrines are true. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ does not recognize any other teaching about life and death than that contained in the gospel. Karma and reincarnation are inventions of men, not revelations of God. John Calvin advocated a doctrine called predestination. He believed that God, before the foundation of the world, selected a certain number to be saved and a certain number to be lost. Those numbers cannot be altered, regardless of the behavior of the people involved. Millions of people who call themselves Christians vigorously deny Calvin's view of predestination. Not even God can reconcile the differences between those who embrace Calvinism and those who deny it. God does not and cannot contradict Himself. But he would if he taught both predestination and free will. Did the Lord mean it when he said, "Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely"? Revelation 22:17. According to Calvinism, The lost person cannot be saved. The saved person cannot be lost. So what difference could coming to Jesus or refusing to come to Jesus make? I could give you dozens and dozens of other irreconcilable differences among different faiths, different religions, and different modes of spirituality. But these should be sufficient to show how utter ridiculous it is to suggest that all these different roads lead to God. If it were possible that all these roads lead to God, He would be the most confused being in the universe. For Bible believers, the words of the Apostle Peter settle the matter forever. This is the stone, that is Jesus Christ, that was set at naught by you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:11-12. Jesus Christ is our only Savior. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to God by any other means. John 14:6. The natural man says he would erase the possibility of people misinterpreting the sacred writings for their sake or for their egos. He would cause them to realize that no system of reaching Him is better than any other. Page 3b. In other words, if one religion taught human sacrifice, as has occurred in many countries in the past, that would not make any greater difference in reaching God than in loving all children and adults. What if a religion required the widows of men who had just died to be burned on the funeral pyres with their husbands? Would that make any difference to God? Would God be disturbed if unwanted children were exposed to the elements, as happened in ancient Rome, or were thrown into a pond and drowned, as occurred in Amoy, China, in the not-too-distant past? Would the abuse of women in places like Afghanistan be offensive to God? Do you understand how absolutely foolish it is to argue that one system of faith is no better in reaching God than another? A woman from Columbia, Tennessee, claims not to be religious. But if she had the power of God for a week, she would make all human beings aware of the consequences of their actions. I do not mean to be unkind, but God has already done that. How could anyone read the Scriptures and not arrive at that conclusion? For example, if we commit adultery, we not only damage our own spiritual condition and destroy our families, we also endanger our eternal welfare. If we do not love God and obey the gospel, we shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. 2 Thessalonians 1:8-9. The Bible teaches very plainly that ideas and actions have consequences. One of the letter writers said he would use the power of God, if he had it for 1 week, to have all the media tell people to love one another as God loves us. Page 3b. Jesus has already done that. A new commandment I give unto you, Jesus told His disciples, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are My disciples, if you have love one to another. John 13:33-34. While God will not force the media to broadcast His message of love to the world, those who love God will make a maximum effort to do so. I know God expects me as a gospel preacher and as a Christian to tell people of God's love for man and of our responsibility to love one another. I strive to do that as effectively as I am able. Another of the letter writers said he would set mankind on a million different roads that lead back to God. He would want people to understand that God lives and walks on all these paths. And if that were to happen, God would be as confused as most modern men are. God cannot walk two different paths. He cannot be untrue to Himself. He cannot endorse the dozens of religions, the hundreds of sectarian groups, and the thousands of cults. We can surely understand why Paul would say to the Corinthians, For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. 1 Corinthians 14:33. There are several other letters in the paper I do not have time to mention. Some of them are quite thoughtful. Others come very close to being blasphemous. I again express amazement that the editors of the Tennessean would stoop to asking people to respond to the topic, "If I had God's power, I would..." I'm equally amazed that anyone would even toy with the idea of an ordinary mortal's being God. Surely there is something more profitable for the editors of the paper to discuss. Please listen to these words from the inspired psalmist. "Where shall I go from thy spirit? Or where shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hides not from thee, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike unto thee. For thou hast formed my inward parts. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knows right well." Psalm 139, 7 through 14. When an ordinary human being can do all that David ascribes to God, he might have some justification for saying what he would do if he were God for a day. Thank you for listening today, and may God continue to bless you.